The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here again today. So excited that you came to join us for worship. So we're going to continue, and I didn't necessarily do this as like intentional as a series, but last week we talked about the idea of focus. And when we talked about the idea of focus was, we said it like this: the amount of focus we give something determines its interest and our love for it. We talked about how some of you may have been the lucky children in your family that left behind. Anybody be left by their parents? Yeah, I'm going to say it. They came back to get you. I told you guys the traumatic story about how I ran away and they didn't come find me. We talked about that, just the idea that sometimes if something is important or we're interested, we give it a lot of focus and attention. And we talked last week about this idea that we need to focus on what matters. We went through and we looked at some different things that matter to us in life and things that need to matter to us in life. And we talked about how focus is essential to focusing on what matters. That was kind of our theme from last week, was just focusing on what matters. And we ended with this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, that said this: things that are seen don't last forever, but things that are not seen are eternal. That's why we keep our minds on the things that cannot be seen. It's the idea, the mentality, the thing is this, is that you and I, yes, we have to focus on what matters. Right now, how many of you have to-do list today? Anybody have a to-do list today? How many of you guys don't make to-do lists and you just live life on the fly? How do you do that? I mean, I've got lists on top of lists on top of lists, and I never get all of them done, but it's interesting to me, like, it's easy to focus on the things that are right now, isn't it? The things that we know have to be done. By the end of the day, this has to be done, this has to be done. Sometimes it's hard, and where I get lost in my focus sometimes is this: I have a hard time focusing on what I need to do tomorrow. Anybody can relate to that? Things that I can't see today, like right now, I know there's immediate needs, there are things that I have to focus on and do right now. But then there's other things that are like weeks and months and years down the road, and I can't focus on them because why? They're not here yet, right? Like I call it my superpower. Now you guys may call it procrastination, but I call it my superpower. When I'm on like a deadline and something has to be done, man, I can work and I can get it done no problem whatsoever at all. When there are things that like I don't have to have a deadline, like there's no real immediate rush, I will take ages and ages and ages to do that thing. And I think it's a superpower. My wife does not. But the hard part about this, and what this verse also tells us though, is this. Another way to look at this is we don't need to get so caught up on what appears to matter right now. Instead, we need to focus on what's going to matter. You ever thought something was super important in the moment? Like, this was all that matters in life, is what was right before you. And you got so caught up and so consumed by this thing, only to find out years later it really didn't matter that much. I don't know if any of you guys remember this or not, but around the year 2000, there was this thing called Y2K. Y'all remember that? Anybody have a Y2K party where everybody came to your house and we all combined our goods and we all had stuff stored up together just in case the computers didn't come back and reset? For those of y'all who were too young for that, they were worried the computers were just going to crash and it was going to go back to like pioneer days. I don't really know why that would have been so bad. But I mean, like, I remember spending, like, people spent all kinds of money prepping and preparing, and we had a Y2K party where everybody from the church was invited to our house and we could all come and sit and watch the clock strike midnight in hopes that it would turn around and would come back the next morning and everything would be normal, or the next minute everything would be normal again. But man, like, so much focus went into worrying about what was going to happen at midnight that year, And then after, I'll never forget, like I was sitting there and I watched the clock and I counted down and it hit midnight and I like watched the lights and I watched the everything and I was like, all right, what? And then nothing happened. I was like, all that time, like I spent like preparing for this and thinking about this and focusing on what the life was going to be like tomorrow, because it wasn't going to be the same as it was today, because Y2K was going to swipe everything out. For nothing to happen, it was kind of disappointing. But how many of us spend so much time focusing on what's here and now that we forget to focus on what's going to matter in the future? See, what that passage tells us in what Paul gives us is this. He says, listen, it's easy to focus on what's happening right now. The harder thing is to focus on what's going to happen in the future. Paul gives us a guide to discover, or Paul tells us that there's a guide to help us discover what's going to matter. The first thing he tells you that's going to matter, or the thing that we need to look at that's going to matter, is this. What's eternal is going to matter. One of the biggest indicators Paul tells us about what's going to matter is what's going to last forever. Now, I'm not going to ask you to confess to this today, but how many of you spend a good amount of your focus preserving your health? Anybody? Well, I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to put my hand down. We started drinking some green, I don't even know what it is, some green drink thing the other day, because it's supposed to help you live longer and have a better quality of life and things like that. And I talked to my parents, and again, I'm not saying this is anybody here. This is old people like my parents down in Florida. But like, man, and their life revolves around doctor's appointments. It's like, hey, we were going to do this, but we can't do this because we have this doctor's appointment here. Man, we spend so much time focusing on preserving 80 to 100 years. You ever think about how much of our energy and focus goes into preserving our time on earth? And it's kind of funny when you think about it. It's comical to talk to my parents and hear about all the things they're doing to preserve their health and preserve their time. And man, I want them here as long as I possibly can. But maybe the sad thing to me is this, is how quickly we dismiss things that are eternal. Man, we have no problem spending our money, our energy, our efforts on preserving a day of our life. But how quickly do we dismiss eternal things? Well, it's not that big of a deal. I don't have to do that today. It will be here tomorrow. How quickly we dismiss things that are going to last forever. It's kind of sad. There's a passage in Scripture I go to time and time again when I need help refocusing. It's in Proverbs chapter 4. He starts out there and he says this, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight and keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight forward ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path of your feet and be steadfast in your ways. Do not turn to your right or your left and keep your foot from evil." Now, I've gone to that passage hundreds of times. Anytime I kind of need help refocusing, anytime I need to kind of focus on what matters, I always go to that passage because it talks about guarding your heart. And we're going to get there in just a second. But what I was shocked and amazed to find this week is how much this passage talks about what's going to matter also. It doesn't just matter right now. It's what's going to matter in the future. He starts out and he says this. He says, Pay attention to God's word, because God's word is going to matter. Did you know that the word of God is eternal? How cool is that? This thing that you and I get to hold in our hands is eternal. This is going to last forever. I had a professor one time, and I found out that he ripped this off of J.D. Greer. He said, there's only two things in life that are going to last forever: the word of God and souls of men. The word of God is eternal, and so it got me thinking, well, if the word of God is eternal, we should treasure it. We should pay attention to it. We should keep it in front of our eyes constantly, he says there. It says we should keep it on our hearts. In other words, the Word of God should be the lens that we view the world through. Our world shouldn't be the lens that we view the Word of God through. How many of us treasure God's Word truly? Confession moment, and I know I'm not supposed to, this isn't, we're not Catholic, but confession moment. I've gotten behind, Eugene, where are you at, man? I've gotten behind on my reading through the Bible. I was, like the other night when you and I talked, I was like 2 days behind. I think I'm probably like at least a week behind now. You know why? Because here's what happens. I'm tired. Man, there's this new show that just came out. And that night, that's my time to just sit and watch a show with my wife. And I, you know, we used to read, but it will be, God's Word will be there tomorrow. And it will be, that's true. But man, how quickly do I dismiss God's Word? How many of you have ever had this happen? You've read something and it hurt and it stung. And so what did you do? You quickly flipped the page to the next passage. Because I don't like that. That doesn't fit my life. That doesn't fit what I wanted to say. It led me to question, if we're supposed to focus on what's going to matter, and we're supposed to focus on things that are eternal, and we know that God's Word is eternal, and God's Word, according to this passage, is life, what value and focus do we put on the Word of God? Do you come up with reasons to read God's Word? You come up with excuses to not read God's Word. He says, not only is God, the Word of God important, the condition of your heart is important, according to Proverbs 4:23. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The next thing that is eternal is your heart, your soul. Listen, if I can share with you one thing today. If you hear nothing else, if you tune me out, if you start thinking about what we're having for lunch, let me share with you this real quick. Nothing else matters but the condition of your heart. If you have never placed your faith and trust in Christ, and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and your heart has not been washed by Jesus' blood that He sacrificed on the cross for you, and your heart has not been made new, nothing else that you hear or do today matters at all. This is of the utmost importance. I'm telling you this because I love you dearly, and I love you way too much to watch you come in and sit in here and hear good music from Rocky and leave the exact same. Nothing matters. It does not matter what I say. It does not matter what is sung. It does not matter what you wear. It does not matter where you sit. It does not matter what's for lunch. It does not matter what you do after this. It doesn't matter what sports team plays today. Nothing matters if your heart condition is not right. Nothing. And my plead and my prayer and my begging for you is this. Do not let today go by without knowing that. I know, listen, I know all of you, I've seen you all, we have relationships, we're friends, we talk, but I'm not dumb enough to think that there might be somebody in here who doesn't have a relationship with Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Christ and the condition of your heart has not been cleansed and not been made new, nothing else matters today. That is of the utmost of importance. You can say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Unfortunately, we're not promised tomorrow. So today, while you have a chance, make sure that the condition of your heart is what it needs to be. Because everything you do flows from it. The next thing he tells us that is going to matter is the product of your lips. In verse 24, he talks about keep your mouth free from perversity, keep corrupt talk from your lips. Y'all remember an age before social media where you could say things and it just got lost? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been haunted by something they posted on? How many of you guys like those social media things that tell you what you posted 10 years ago? For one, my grammar was terrible then. But for two, like I read this and I'm like, who? What? How is that? And I'll never forget, biggest mistake I ever made in my entire life, and I'm going to share it with you. That's not true, but that's a bit of an exaggeration. I was working at a church, I was like an under pastor. I don't know where I was. Like, I was way down the food chain. I was dating this girl, and I broke up with her because we just weren't right for each other. And her friend came to me and goes, "How dare you break up with her?" I'm sorry. I thought that's what you're supposed to do when you don't like each other anymore. She goes, "You're just a terrible Christian." So me, being the bright, genius person that I am, goes to social media. John's a bad Christian, and strangely okay with being that. I thought that was a great response to the fact that if I'm going to break up with a girl and that's going to make me a terrible Christian, then like, cool, I'm good with that. Until Monday morning rolls around, and my senior pastor calls me in his office. And he says, "Hey, John, what's this media post about?" And I'm like, Well, see, what happened was she said that I was a bad Christian for breaking up with her friend, and I thought that was humorous. And he goes, "You realize this is out there for everyone to see forever." Oh, no, I didn't realize that. Because there used to be a time where we would say things, and wouldn't it be terrible if everything you've ever said followed you around for all eternity? How many of you are haunted by things that you said or did at some point in time? And the hope is that when you say what the product of our lips is going to last forever, how is that the case? Well, here's the bad thing. What you say to people has an eternal impact. Now, while your words may not follow you forever, and the words that you say won't echo through the halls of eternity forever, the words that you and I say have eternal impacts. When you say something to somebody, you can bring life to them. You can bring hope. You can bring peace. You can bring love. You can introduce them simply by what you say to a relationship with Jesus Christ. But the opposite is also true. When you spew hate and you spew anger and jealousy and rage and all this different stuff out of your mouth, you destroy people. Man, one of the things I'm always so scared of, scariest time in my entire week is right now. Because I'm standing up and I'm saying things, and my hope and my goal is that everything that comes out of my mouth is honoring and pleasing to God, because I've met so many people who some pastor at some point in time said this, and it has wrecked and destroyed their life and caused them to be further away from God than they ever were. And so I understand the importance of standing here, and I understand the importance of what I'm saying, because I understand that every single word that comes out of my mouth, especially in this moment right here, has the potential to bring life or death. But if I'm going to be honest, when I leave here, that importance isn't quite there. When I speak to my kids sometimes, I forget that. When I speak to my wife sometimes, I forget that. And I don't realize the importance of what I'm saying. But what this passage of Scripture tells us is, listen, the product of your lips has eternal impact. So you and I need to be careful with what we say, because while our words may not last forever, the impact of our words do. He goes on and he talks about what's going to matter is the direction of your gaze. In verses 25 through 27, Solomon tells us that what we allow ourselves to focus on now impacts and directs us. What's your goal in your life? It sounds difficult to say sometimes, but if you're trying to glorify God with your life in eternity, is what you're doing right now with your today glorifying God? How many of you have known somebody, and again, you guys are all good church-going people, you'd never think this way, but we've met those people who said, well, later on in life, I'm going to get serious about my relationship with God. Once I get this, 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 and this taken care of, once I do this, then I'll focus on that. The direction of your gaze determines your destination. If you're waiting till then to glorify God with your life, you're going to be so far off track, you're not going to realize how far off you are. What you're allowing yourself to focus on and be important now is going to matter in the future. The trajectory of our eternity is shaped by our actions now. Can I ask you a question? What's important to you right now? What's your focus on right now? What draws your attention? What draws your passion? What draws your interest in? What consumes your thoughts and your minds? It's going to be important to you for a long time. What we allow ourselves to focus on ends up putting ourselves in a position that sometimes we're not happy with in the future. Another way to approach this, or another way to look at this in trying to figure out what matters, is to look at what's not going to matter. In Matthew chapter 16, he says this. Sorry. What good does it gain to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? That's a question we've all wrestled with at some point in time. We've all heard, I'm sure. We've all expressed at some point in time. But have you ever looked at that verse and really thought, what's going to matter? Some of you are on the edge of this Christian life, and you're right there. You're kind of involved. You kind of want to do things right. You kind of want to glorify God with your life. You kind of want to do this, but not really. There's too many other things that are also really important to you. That verse echoes again, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? Can you tell me anything that's more important than your soul? According to Matthew, nothing. And so if that's the case, then there are things in our life that we do that aren't going to matter in the future. But just in case you're having a hard time figuring out what some of those things are that aren't going to matter, Scripture gives us some lists of some things that aren't going to matter. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 says this. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not your life more than food and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, for they do not reap or sow or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Church, can I tell you something? Your worries aren't going to matter. Somebody introduced me to a quote this week. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. It's a pretty profound statement. I did some research after I heard that. According to the studies, this is different studies, 63 full days out of a calendar year, the average American spends worrying. Roughly 2 to 4 hours, over 4 hours every day, over half of Americans spend worrying. You ever worry and then you worry about what you're worrying about? And then when you realize you've worried about what you're worrying about, you worry because you didn't do what you were supposed to do when you worried about what you're worrying about. Man, can I give you some freedom this morning? Majority of what we worry about isn't going to matter. All the worry, all the stuff that we spend our entire time worrying about, it's not going to matter. our worries aren't going to matter. All the things that we give our attention to and our focus in, and we spend so much of our time worrying, it's not going to matter. Another thing Matthew tells us in chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, is that your possessions don't matter. He said this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves cannot break in or steal. You ever think about how much of our time we spend worrying about our possessions? We don't have enough. What can we do to get enough? What if something happens to what we do have? I think we spend a considerable amount of our focus on what we have, we don't have, or what we want to have. Can I tell you another secret this morning? What you have, what you don't have, what you want to have, aren't going to matter. You're not taking any of it with you. You say, well, yeah, but I'm creating a better life for my children. That's great. Solomon talks a lot about that. He says, you know what? You have no idea what's going to happen to all your stuff when you leave it behind you. Now listen, I'm all for giving your children a better life. Man, I hope my kids have a better life than I ever had. But here's the reality of it. What I leave them doesn't make a better life. We all know that all too well. How many of you know people who are rich beyond belief? Generational wealth. Where, man, it's just been passed on and passed on and passed on. And they're miserable. Why? Your possessions don't matter. What you have doesn't matter. What you don't have doesn't matter. What you want to have doesn't matter. It's all going to pass away. The last thing that doesn't matter, spoiler alert, it doesn't matter. Your position isn't going to matter. In Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Your reputation and what people say about you isn't going to matter in eternity. Now, your reputation matters. Don't misunderstand me. You can't have a terrible reputation and people think that you're a terrible person because you are a terrible person. And that reputation that you and I have here on earth matters while we're here on earth. But God's not going to look at you when you get to heaven and say, oh, man, you were the CEO of whatever. Come to the front. Y'all don't make him stand in this line. Get him to the front. God's not going to look at you and say, hey, listen, you held the title of Grand Poobah of the Grand Poobahnesses. You don't have, man, listen, heaven, you're the keys to heaven. They're yours because you were that. Your job title, what people think about you, your prestige, your name, man, none of that's going to matter. I wonder how many of us spend a lot of time focusing on that. We want to be thought of well, and thinking of people thinking of you well is a good thing. But can I share something with you? People necessarily didn't think great of Jesus during his time. They thought he was a troublemaker. They thought he was a rebel starter. They thought he was a menace. He associated with sinners. You know what? None of that mattered. Your reputation is important, but church, don't get so caught up in thinking that the position you have, the job you have, the title you have, your space in society matters. Because it's not going to matter in eternity. There's one passage, and if I could encourage you with one more thing today, it would be this. Highlight, underline, circle, star, mark over this passage time and time again in your Bible. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says this, whoever speaks is to do so as one who speaks the actual words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus. To Him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can I give you the most freeing piece of advice today? God's glory is all that matters. Have you ever wondered why we were created in the image of God? You were created in the image of God to reflect God so that other people would be glorified, or so that God would be glorified through your reflection of Him. Your life was only meant to glorify God. We get to work, we get to serve, we get to do these things, but if we're not doing these things for the glory of God, it does not matter. You say, that's not really freeing. Here's why. Glorify God with your life. That's as simple as I can make it, man. And that's as easy and as point blank and clear as it can be. Glorify God with your life. We'll say, yeah, but what about this? What if I don't have enough money? Glorify God with what money you have. What if I don't have the right job? Glorify God with whatever job you have. What if I don't have the right... Glorify God. What if I don't feel like... Glorify God. Well, what happens when... Glorify God. It does not matter. If you are living your life for God's glory, and that is your sole focus, and your sole importance, and your sole everything, and how you direct every step of your life is going to matter. But can I share with you another secret? If you're not doing that, your life's not going to matter. Listen, I told you a couple weeks ago, and I mean this, you matter immensely to God. But never get it wrong in thinking that you matter because you matter. You matter because God's given you the job to glorify Him. Nothing you do with your life outside of that matters. That's freeing because that means I get to do all kinds of things as long as my intention, my focus, and my goal remains glorifying God. I get to do things. I am free to do things. So church, my question for you this morning is this. What's going to matter at the end of your life? What will you have done in your 80, 90, 100 years? It's going to matter in eternity. Have you got a nice house? Awesome. Have you got a good car? Fantastic. You finally get that raise you were working for? Good deal. None of that's going to matter. Did my kids think I was a fun, cool dad? Not going to matter. Did my wife think I was Romeo that she never knew? Not going to matter. Did I lead them in a godly way? That'll matter. Was I the pastor of a church of 5,000 people that had a big, massive budget? Doesn't matter. Did I lead a church in a way that glorifies God? It's going to matter. This morning, what's going to matter about your life? Rocky's going to come, and as Rocky comes, and man, I told him last night when he sent me the songs, and I said, man, I'm so glad you picked that song. I've been wanting you to sing it forever again. I'm going to ask you to do something strange today, maybe. I'm going to ask you to sit. I'm going to ask him to play, and I'm going to ask him to sing. And if you want to sing, by all means, you sing. But what I want you to do is I want you to take an inventory. You guys know what inventory is. Inventory is when we sit down and we count the cost versus the reward. I want you to take an inventory of your life and ask yourself one question. What are you doing with your life right now that's going to matter? And then you do business with God. God, I thank you for your word this morning. God, I pray that your word has gone out and is glorifying and honoring to you. Father, I pray that this morning, in the quietness and the stillness of this moment, Father, that you would give us clear eyes. God, to evaluate our life. Father, to take spiritual inventory and ask ourselves that question. What am I doing with my life that's going to matter? Lord, this morning, in the stillness and the quietness of this moment, Father, if the results aren't pleasing, if the results aren't good, if the results aren't something that is what's going to matter in the future, Lord, I pray that you would help us to redirect our focus today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.